Everything that is necessary has already been done. Salvation from sin is offered to you and every other person as a free gift from God. The Bible term propitiation refers to that basis on which God's justice and holiness has been satisfied, so He can be just and yet justify the ungodly. It is the basis on which salvation can be offered in free grace to guilty and condemned sinners. Our study of the Bible doctrine of propitiation has answered several questions. 1. Why is propitiation needed? 2. How is propitiation secured? 3. Where is propitiation effected? And now we approach a fourth question. Who is able to effect propitiation for sinners today? The need for propitiation is as great today as it has ever been, for man has not changed in his sin, God has not changed in His holiness. The need for a propitiatory ministry is as great today as it was in ancient times when it was so clearly illustrated and taught in Holy Scripture. To understand propitiation, it is necessary to turn our attention to the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament Scriptures. The discussion of the rituals performed by ancient Israel on their Day of Atonement sets a perfect background against which we can understand the Bible doctrine under consideration. There was one person who was in the spotlight, so to speak, on that solemn Day of Atonement. He was the high priest of the Jewish religious system. In the King James Version of the Scriptures, there are more than 50 references to the high priest in the explanation of the rituals of the Day of Atonement. The congregation of Israel would bring the animals to be sacrificed to the high priest, and after that, almost everything that was done by him. That means there must be one person who performs the propitiatory deed by which God can justify sinners in a just way. The high priest of the Jewish priesthood was that one person of supreme importance in that day, but who can do it today? The New Testament Scriptures make it very plain that Jesus Christ is the great high priest. He ministers the new covenant and effects propitiation. John the Baptist remembered the ritual of the Day of Atonement when the scapegoat was taken into the wilderness with the sins of the nation confessed upon its head. And he introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And so he is. The early disciples of Jesus were so convinced that Jesus died for mankind as the animal was sacrificed for the nation in ancient times that they interpreted a remark by a murderous man with that meaning. The enemies of Jesus were discussing what they could do to destroy his influence and stop his ministry. And Caiaphas, the high priest that year, said, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not." Now he meant it would be better for them to kill Jesus than for the Romans to destroy the whole nation because of the trouble which could arise around Jesus. But John said the high priest did not understand the full import of his words. It was a prophecy given unwittingly that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. The testimony of the writers of New Testament Scripture agree that Jesus is the great high priest who would perform the deed of propitiation for mankind. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Well, John believed that Jesus Christ is the answer to the sin problem. He serves as an advocate, a representative, an intercessor before God in behalf of mankind. He did the deed of atonement in his death and resurrection. So God is propitiated toward the whole world and will forgive all those who come to Him through repentance from sin and personal faith in Jesus Christ. John continued that theme in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, saying, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now the passage teaches several significant truths. One, God sent His only begotten Son into the world in behalf of sinners. Two, God sent His only begotten Son that men might have life through Him. Three, God sent His only begotten Son because of His great love for men. Four, God sent His only begotten Son at a time when men did not love Him. And five, God sent His only begotten Son to provide a propitiation for sin so sinners could be forgiven. So let us raise the question once more. Who is able to effect propitiation for sinners today? The evident answer of Holy Scripture is the only begotten Son of God. Now that is why we trust Jesus Christ, God's Son, as our personal Savior. The sacrifices of the Old Testament led man alone until he could understand the scope and significance of the death of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 4, each person offered sacrifice for himself. In Genesis chapter 9, when Noah and his family came out of the ark following the great flood, one man offered sacrifice in behalf of the whole family. In Leviticus 16, after the priesthood was established in Israel, one man could offer sacrifice in behalf of the whole nation. But then you come to the New Testament and Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, offering a sacrifice in behalf of the whole human race. The sacrifices of animals through the ages in the Jewish religious system set the stage for us to understand fully the sacrifice of the Son of God for the sins of the world. Now that's the truth presented in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Now note the reference to Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That suggests that God designated Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for sins. It teaches that the blood of Jesus, meaning His death for sinners, is the efficient cause for the propitiation. And it teaches that what Jesus did in His death and resurrection made it possible for God to deal with sinners in mercy and grace. Therefore, we enter into the good of the propitiatory work of Jesus by personal faith in Him. Now that is the whole gospel message in a single statement. Who effects propitiation? Who makes it possible for us to come to God and be received in peace? It is Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Everything that is necessary has been done. Salvation from sin is offered to you and every other person as a free gift from God. Father, we accept Your offer of grace, knowing that Jesus died for us, the just one suffering for us unjust ones. We gladly accept the benefits of His sacrifice. We rejoice by faith in assurance of forgiveness and adoption into Your blessed family, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.